Connected health cities. The vision for this, as Hakim kindly pointed out, it came out of some work Ian Buchanan and myself did. And there were three really important things about connected health city, and they're on this slide. The first of those is actually to drive public sector reform across health and social care. So making better use of data to drive new insights so we can actually optimise the way we deliver health and social care across the entire system. That's the first one. The second one is actually to develop and build trust with the citizens and the populations we serve for the use of their data. So I'm sure you're all familiar with the care.data debacle, as now it's officially known, and the damage that has actually done to the use of healthcare data. And so a key component of the Connected Health Cities program is re-establishing that trust, reaching out, and data saves lives is one of the mechanisms for doing that. And then thirdly, and perhaps really importantly for the north of England and Connected Health City as part of the Chancellor's Northern Powerhouse agenda, it's how do we generate new business growth in the digital health sector across the entire north of England. And events like this are extremely important in driving and developing that. So these are the three key things we're setting out to achieve in Connected Health Cities. As Hakim has already said, well, it's across the north of England. We've been funded for 20 million for pilots across 3 years. The project is organised in a hub and spoke model. So there are four spokes to this. So there's the Northwest Coast, there's Greater Manchester, there's Connected Yorkshire, and there's North East and North Cumbria. And there's a hub that sits at the centre, which is the thing that I direct, and I'll tell you more about that in a minute. And each of these spokes, CHCs, has been tasked with selecting two care pathways and actually applying the learning health system methodology along those pathways and innovating along those pathways. So learning health system methodology, what is it? Well, if you look across lots of industries, for example, manufacturing, they operate models of continuous improvement. So they actually use the data that they generate as part of running their operational processes, analyze that data, and use it to improve those processes. And this is the essence of a learning health system. It's that continuous improvement cycle. And if you look at some of the stuff that came out from the US, from the Institute of Medicine, about 5-6 years ago, the best care at lower cost documents, you'll see this explained in a lot of detail. I just want to say a key metric of how do you know you created a learning health system is data action latency. What do I mean by data action latency? Well, if we have data production going across the top, i.e. data generated in electronic health records, data about the service and how it's performing, and then you want to break out into this loop here, which is taking the data, preparing it for use, analyzing it, generating some new insights, and then actually triggering some action to optimize that actual service itself, what you want to do is you want to minimize that time between the data being available and the actual insight resulting in an action and changing the service. So you know when you're doing well when you reduce this gap down here. So that's the key metric behind learning health system. What does it take to establish a CHC? Well, these are the ingredients that we need to feed in. So to have a commitment across the system, not just from NHS and care delivery organisations, but also local government and, really important, the civic aspect of this, the trust of the population. We need to have a population health system that's actually mature enough and ready to be able to implement this. We want to really engage with our populations. So actually, the key thing about using data from electronic health records to improve services for the population is that there should never be any surprises that we're doing this. And this is partly where care.data fell down, in that actually it came as a big surprise to everybody that this was happening and the information communication was very, very poor. Information readiness, so obviously the key part of CHC is actually using the information. So does it exist? Does it exist in a way that's extractable? And can the information governance be put in place? critical, multidisciplinary, critical mass, so actually bringing the right people together with the right skills mix. Information governance and actually building new partnerships across health and social care and academia. Actually, these things don't, they exist on a very ad hoc basis, but actually trying to formalise these and put them in completely. And lastly, economic growth, industry integration, absolutely critical to the success of the CHC programme. So I just wanted, I've spoke a lot about this, but this is really, really critical. The civic partnership, the transparency, the social license for us to operate with our populations, absolutely critical, because if we don't achieve this, then we've actually done nothing. And there was a really nice paper from the Journal of Medical Ethics, as referenced down there, that looked at why care.data actually failed. And it was actually because it failed to meet the expectations of citizens. So there were, the reciprocity wasn't clear. It wasn't clear that it wasn't exploitative of people's data for private gain. And it wasn't clear that it was in the service of the public good. So solving this problem is really key to connected health cities. And we're taking a number of approaches for this. So data saves lives. You've seen it all over today. Please retweet it. We're also looking at citizens' juries. So actually taking members of the public, bringing them in over a period of 3 to 5 days, and actually explaining in great detail what we're doing inside connected health cities, and asking them a number of questions such as, is this a good thing? Is this something we should be doing? To what extent should we be engaging with industry? These key questions that actually, when you give people time to think about it, you actually get interesting answers out of it. Openness and transparency as well is absolutely critical. So actually, how can we actually drive consent of citizens, and how can we actually give feedback to citizens on how their data has been used? Absolutely critical to the programme. So how will we actually drive economic growth is the other question you might ask. So we want to establish within CHC open innovation partnerships to develop core infrastructure and tackle some of the key challenges that we have in CHC. We also have the concept of a spinning laboratory. So actually what you find with a lot of SMEs is a barrier to entry is how you engage with the NHS, but also how do you validate and test some of your products where you have an algorithm that maybe you used in clinical decision making. How do you go about doing that? And the ARC will be the place where we can actually achieve that capability. We also will be able to look at a platform for delivering real-world evidence studies. So in Greater Manchester, we have the Salford Lung Study that was done with GSK. How can we start to scale that up across the north of England to make it internationally competitive, where you've got a 15 million population? And once you start to talk about doing it at that scale, you then start to talk about large economic development. And I can see Hacken nodding furiously along to that one. So these are the key things for economic development. Just to give you a brief timeline, as Hacken mentioned, January 2016, CHC started. June 2017, so the hub at the centre of the project is developing core technology platforms. And one of the key things there is to engender knowledge exchange and reuse across the entire project, so that something is discovered in one CHC, it can be rapidly translated, applied into another CHC. By December 2017, we expect the ARC to be fully operational. And December 2018, that's when the project will come to an end, or the pilot phase will come to an end. And pathway optimization will complete, and we'll have the full evaluation of the programme. So that's broadly the main timelines and milestones. So I've mentioned ARC a number of times. What exactly is an ARC? Well, that's a definition. Hopefully you can see it, because I'm not going to read it out. But the key feature of this is it's actually a place where we can bring together people with different skills and abilities, with data and with methods, so we can drive those new insights and create actionable information that will lead to change. So you'll have seen this picture already, but I just wanted to draw your attention to one key thing about this, and it's actually in the middle of the arc, you see there a range of different skills of people, different skill sets from across the NHS, from across public health, from across academia, from across social care as well. And it's this bringing together these different people in an environment to tackle some of these difficult problems that is the key at the heart of the arc. And the other thing I just want to draw your attention to, actually, if you look at this picture, you will see in there, there is a loop. And around this loop is the learning health system, where you generate insights, you change policy, planning, change services, generate new data back through to the arc. So you see it embodies this notion of a continuous cycle of feedback. And I just, again, you've seen this one as well, but I just want to bring out and reinforce the message again. The key thing about this is if you look at actually how we generate insights, how we generate intelligence across the health and social care system today, actually there are many different pipelines and we have a lot of duplication, a lot of redundancy. That is just simply unnecessary and actually wasteful. And actually, when you look across the capacity we have in terms of human capacity in this system, there isn't enough to actually support all these pipelines. And so when you start to bring them all together into the arc, then actually you're making better use of the scant capacity that we actually have. And that's a really key message of the arc. So just to explain what the role of the hub actually is. So we take responsibility for project management and reporting back up to the funders. So we're actually responsible directly to the Department of Health and the Office of Life Sciences. The hub also involved of core technology platform development to underpin the ARCs. We run communications and public engagement where it makes sense to do it across the north of England and achieve economy of scale. And of course, knowledge exchange and reuse, so actually capitalising on innovation that's occurred in a CHC, making sure it gets translated into the other CHCs. And just a quick comment on the core technology platforms we're developing. So we have a program to develop basically an interface for citizens. So I mentioned public trust, openness, transparency is really important. How are you going to drive this? And you have to create an interface where citizens can actually see how their data has been used in any particular arc. We're going to do arc design and reference architecture and develop common applications and tools. Technologies to support knowledge exchange and reuse, and ultimately, I mentioned getting up to the kind of scale whereby if you have the 50 million population, you can actually derive some really interesting science and economic development. Well, the technologies around data federation or virtualization that we need to employ to be able to do that. So these are the outcomes that we're expecting from CHC. Remember, this is a pilot. So actually, the key outcomes here are actually trying to understand how to do these things that people haven't tried to do before. So how do you build civic partnerships? How do you establish a CHC in an ARC? How do you make them work together? How do you actually employ learning health system methodology in the complicated health and social care system that we have? And how can we best drive economic growth around this? And of course, not only do we want to understand how to do these things, but we actually want to make progress in actually achieving these as well. So I'll just leave you with this. The house that we're trying to build in a connected health city, underpinned by informatics and the pillars of records, evidence, intelligence, innovation. But the roof on the thing that stops it all getting wet and falling down is public empowerment and trust. So that's what I'd say. Thank you very much.
Thank you.